Madam Speaker, I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good. And I yield back the balance of my time.
Welcome back, Resurrected Republic, this radio broadcast on RBN. Okay, before we got to the top of the hour break, we were sharing a presentation that Blackstone Intelligence put out, Jake Morfonios, on Christian attitudes towards Israel and some observations. Of course, very difficult for conservative-minded Christians to criticize Israel. Now, no one knows better than that than Mr. Brendan O'Connell, who was imprisoned for exposing so many things in Australia. He will be joining us tonight. This is what I'm working on, actually, in the background here. And when you guys see what we're bringing you tonight, I think that you will be pretty impressed. And I am certainly impressed with this gentleman and his research and his work. So make sure that you tune in tonight at 7 p.m., I think it's Pacific time, so you guys can do the time calculation on RTR Truth Media Reloaded tonight with Brendan O'Connell. Anyway, let's get back a little bit to this presentation by Jake Morfonios, and then we have some more content to cover. Go ahead and roll the clip.
She also cussed out one of my other sons, teenage son. She had asked him, my sons do tons of yard work and service projects for people in the neighborhood. So she had called, she had asked him to call her one day to arrange a time to come over because she had some weeding she wanted him to do in her backyard. But when he did call her, apparently she didn't recognize his phone number on the caller ID because he had never called her before. And she must have thought he was a telemarketer because what she did was she answered the phone, and before he could even say hello, she cussed him up and down. She told him what a lowlife he was and that salespeople like him are all going to hell for bothering people at their homes. Oh, so, you know, I think that in the end, God cares a lot more how we treat each other than what religion we claim to belong to. I don't believe in the idea of once saved, always saved. I don't believe that all you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and that gets you a ticket to heaven no matter how nasty and mean you are, while someone else who is a very good person is going to be thrust down to hell and burned in brimstone and lava for eternity because he never went to church. Now, like all Christians, I do believe that every single person, before they can enter heaven, must accept Jesus Christ. I absolutely believe that. But where I differ with Christians, or many Christians, is that I don't believe that God is going to send everybody to hell automatically because they just happen to live in a time or a place where the opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ was never available to them. And one of the things that shaped this belief is when I did live in Thailand for a couple of years, I worked among people doing all kinds of things, humanitarian work, all kinds of stuff. I'd get out there in the rice fields with them, up to my knees in dirty water, planting, putting in rice plugs, getting leeches on me. These people, as I talked with them, most of them had never even heard of the concept of God. It was completely foreign to them. It had never been taught to them. It wasn't part of social discourse. And people like this, throughout the ages, for thousands and thousands of years, have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm thinking, God is a loving person. He's a loving God. He loves his children. Is he really going to send all these people to some kind of horrible eternal torment because by no fault of their own, they weren't born in a time or place that they could have heard about Jesus? And this is why, one of the reasons why younger people are moving away from Christianity. They see the inherent injustice of this. Why would they want to believe in a God that only that chooses the Jews who don't even believe in Jesus, and they're the chosen people, and everybody else, billions and billions of people who have existed on earth, they all go to hell because they never heard about Jesus? So I believe differently. My own belief, and I believe this is supported by scriptures, my belief is that between the time that we die and the day of judgment that is to come in the future, there is a period of time in which we exist in a kind of spiritual dimension where we continue to have consciousness, we still have free will, but we are non-corporeal in nature. We are spirits. We are in a world of spirits. And in this place, those who never had the chance to learn about Christ will have the opportunity in some way or another given to them. And they will have that opportunity, like many of us in earth life, to accept Jesus Christ as Savior or not. And ultimately, they'll be judged not only on this acceptance of Christ, but how well they lived their lives while they were alive on earth in proportion to the amount of light and truth that they did have access to. Because you don't need to be a Bible believer. You don't need the Bible to be taught some basic good things. You don't need, having lived in Thailand, the people who are not Christian there, 98% Buddhist, they don't know anything about the Bible, and yet they know that it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to commit adultery. They know all these things. So you don't need to believe in Jesus Christ to be a good person. Like I said, many atheists who I know, while I disagree with militant atheism, of course, I know that there are a lot of decent people out there. So I believe that God is much more merciful than this angry, vengeful God that my grandmother's Baptist preacher taught about, a God that sends 99% of humanity to burn in a lake of fire and brimstone. Those are my beliefs, and I, of course, respect your right to think very differently. I'm not trying to tell anybody else that they need to believe my way, but I'm very secure in my beliefs. I believe in live and let live. Be at peace with those around you. Try to make the world a little bit better by being nice to other people throughout your day. These are my values. And I believe a religion is worthless if it cannot have an impact on the people in a way that produces goodness. If it doesn't cause people to make the world a better place around them, what good is it? And that's why I have a much lower opinion of Talmudism, Judaism that is based more on the Talmud than on the Torah. Because it just doesn't, there's so much supremacist ideology in it. It doesn't really take the people as a whole and make them go out into the world as better people. That's my opinion. Anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Jake Morfonios. I would appreciate it if, Jake Morfonios, always good stuff from Jake. So, you know who you can't criticize? That's an obvious thing. You know, one of my sources of content that I always go to, I like the AmericanThinker.com, right? And this Hegelian nature of people that assume that if you don't support Israel or whatever, you must be a leftist. And you know, I love how they fractured the minds of the public. Jake and I both talked about why we supported the Bundys, right? We support the Bundys for the same moral consistency that we oppose what's going on in Palestine. Now, people get sucked into these. There's no such thing as Palestine. It's just ridiculous. These are people that are puppeting repeated lines that are put out there. So we have the BDS movement, right? And this is what initially Brendan O'Connell in Australia was exposing. He was trying to boycott Israeli goods, and he took his camera down there and he interviewed some people and a couple, I guess, Jewish kids or guys, they were young men, were taking his literature or whatever, throwing it away, and took a picture of him. So he filmed them. What's good for you is good for me, right? Well, they didn't like that. Anyway, long story short, it ended up getting him in a lot of trouble. Now, he didn't attack these people. He didn't hurt them. He did share his opinion with them, but he wasn't in any way aggressive, no more than anybody else would be with the confronting somebody who has just like a complete wall up of any kind of human suffering, acknowledging any kind of human suffering. So I go to the AmericanThinker.com, and then I see this June 10th article exposing BDS. Now, just like the veterans on patrol that I illustrated, it sounds like a real cause. I don't support organizations. I don't know their leaders. I don't know their politics. I do know a lot of leftist college students. They jump on bandwagons, okay? And I've seen a lot of these idiots, the same idiots that are supporting transgenderism, supporting BDS. Well, BDS is, I guess, there's a Palestinian organization that boycott, divestment, and sanctions, right? Well, I support boycotting Israel. I don't support an organization that does that. I particularly will not give my business to a communistic, totalitarian state that is based on supremacy. And it is. If people don't think that, then you can go and check out the Israeli-only or Jews-only roads. And I mean, you guys know. Our audience knows all about this. But for those people tuning in that are going to want to criticize me, if you don't realize that this is a form of supremacism that's going on here, then you need to have your head examined. So anyway, this piece in the AmericanThinker.com, we're gonna go through this and I'm going to respond to it in bits and pieces. It says now here, a lot can be said about the evil intentions of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions BDS movement. And there is ample evidence showing BDS leaders, now this is where I have a problem with, instead of an idea, it's a group, right? I believe in the idea of boycotting something if you don't like what's going on. That's freedom, right? But here we go. It immediately attacks leaders, hypocrisy, and philosophical alignment with malicious actors with genocidal ambitions. Yeah, I'm really not joking about this. The same people that are backing the Greater Israel Project and the Yanan Plan are actually calling the other side that they have kicked out of their homes and chased off their land genocidal. I think that is beyond, if it wasn't so sick, it would be funny. So one could readily find volumes of incriminating documentation about the group's actions and alliances. Again, attacking the group, not the idea. I don't know any of these people. I don't support the same thing as I don't support Iran. I don't support a war against Iran, but I happen to think that the Iranian leadership is a little wacky in and of itself. So, of course, I'm not going to subscribe to supporting any foreign nation. To be honest with you, I kind of agree with our founders. We should keep our these entangling alliances, we shouldn't even be having them. So anyway, and while it should be clear, it goes on to say that a solid knowledge base is essential, we believe that it is just as important for the informed reader to take the next step and to educate others about the true nature of BDS. I don't care if you agree or disagree with whatever party that chooses to boycott something. What you do with your money and your effort and what you do with your freedom of speech is your business. Now, this article in the American Thinker is one of the most un-American pieces that I've seen in the AmericanThinker.com. I really do like a lot of their content. Okay. So it's with this goal in mind that I provide, and this is, again, this is Ariel Y. Kramer, okay, that I provide an educational framework toward the end of this missive. Well, thank you for your education. I wonder if it's just slightly biased. Yeah, education or indoctrination. Firstly, we want to underline the importance of combating BDS because of the danger to Israelis and Jews worldwide, allowing it to operate unchallenged. Are you kidding me? Unchallenged? Really? The Jewish lobby in Washington, D.C. is the most powerful special interest group in existence. Most mainstream media favors Israel. And you mean to tell me that this guy thinks that this is operating unchallenged? This just shows you the bias. So he goes on to say, but also because its actions and goals should be unacceptable to all people of sound moral standing. I just can't wait to tear back into this on the other side of this break. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. We'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Father of the moon, which filled my sails, close the sea of years. With no provisions, but no faces, Lord, the straits of fear. Oh,
let me again say, I think that it's very interesting how the commu fascists, the communist communitarian fascists, and these globalists have managed to fracture the right and left so that all of this seems like, you know, this is coming from a leftist perspective. Well, it is in fact permeated within that community. And you know, I like to illustrate to you that if you oppose your tax dollars going to pay for something, boycotting something is the American way to do it. Let me give you a little bit of, for instance, real quick before I get back into the body of this article. Say you have these Christian bakers, right, that don't want to, they don't want to be forced to use their artwork on a cake that does something that opposes their religious liberty, their views. Well, if you want to have a bunch of people that protest that, that's fine. As long as they don't block the business, as long as they don't prevent them from operating, if they want to give their free speech, that's all well and good. That's fine. What's completely un-American is to force people to do things against their beliefs when we were founded on the principles of religious liberty, right? But boycotting them, if if for some reason the gay community doesn't want to purchase anything from them anymore and they want to take their business elsewhere, that's freedom, right? That's, and I, of course, at the same respect, supporting that baker, I would go out of my way to bring my business to people who were targeted for their beliefs and just living by what they believed is right. Now, when you're paying taxes, and your tax money is going to fund these proxy wars in the Middle East, and you don't want to do that. This is the whole thing why I feel so conflicted with this whole national anthem American flag thing, too. I see, you know, people standing against it for all the wrong reasons, but, you know, that's their choice, okay? But our flag has been captured, and it's been captured by special interests. So if you give your blind faith to an idol, whether it be a flag, whether it be an individual, whatever it be, and you give your wholehearted devotion and support to that flag, then you are supporting everything it represents. Kind of why I like the Gadsden flag, don't tread on me. I fall back to that one a little bit because I see that more as a flag of freedom, or the one that George Washington flew, you know, appeal to heaven, because we need some moral compass returned back into this insanity that we see going on around us. So anyway, let's get back to this. And the organization, making it clear, I don't get behind leaders of organizations. I don't care if it's the BDS movement. I don't care what movement it is. You know, free critical thinking requires you to make your own informed decisions on your own and not follow the leader, right? So I don't know what the leaders of this BDS movement or this organization is about. It's not important to me. What's important to me that I stand on principles that are based upon facts, that are based on a moral code. And that moral code to me is I don't agree with what's going on there. I found, and for those Christians out there that are so wholeheartedly, I'm telling you right now, if you're a Christian, conservative, and you support Israel, you're a communist. You're a Trotskyite, neoconservative, William Crystal Trotskyite. This is the republic is for which it stood is the absolute limited form of government. We now have standing armies that these neoconservatives support, and as well as the Obamaites. God, bigger, more government. That's what they wanted too. Well, there's not really much difference behind these foreign policy decisions. All of the trappings that divide us are superficial in nature and mostly created by government. Government creates the problem to then turn around and be the solution. I liken that to marriage, you know. Gay marriage, we need to legalize. No, we don't. First of all, government shouldn't even be in that business. But see, this is what they do. They rob you with the income tax. Then they give you incentives to reduce that robbery. If you file jointly on your income tax return, which I kind of funny. Love you. Which is kind of funny because really what they've done is because before I think it might have been 1913, but in the early 1900s, government didn't issue marriage licenses, which are corporate mergers between your accounts. That's what basically what it is a corporate merger. So then if you need to dissolve said corporate merger, you need to take it to their commerce court. They work out the votes. So, but the point that I'm making is that government creates the problem to then turn around and offer the solution. Well, your relationship with your wife, with your spouse, should be between you, that individual, and God. Period. It's that simple. So Hegelian dialectics all over the place. Well, we get back to the American Thinker article in just a few minutes. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast. Go to RTR Truth Media Blogspot. Click on the chat room. I'm going to pop in there and say hello. Welcome to the face.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Okay, now I've told you guys I really do like the majority of the content on the AmericanThinker.com, but, you know, when they need to be taken to the woodshed, they just do. Because this anti-American propaganda is become mainstream, and the idea of not being able to boycott something with your own money and your own effort is just, to me, it's disgusting. So anyway, firstly, the article goes on to say, we underline the importance of combating BTS because of the danger to Israelis and Jews worldwide. Danger. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. The United States is giving Israel millions and millions of dollars, but, you know, there's this big danger. So anyway, an entity in pursuit of the destruction of the Jewish state by any means necessary, one that routinely violates personal liberties and treats individuals, including Arabs, as collateral damage. Listen to this article and how absolutely schizophrenic. Violates personal liberties? Really? You're telling people that they have to do with their money what they don't want to do, and they must be silent in their criticism. And this idiot actually believes
violate personal liberties. This is how schizophrenic it is. You know, anyway, boycotts of the Jews. Now, see, here's another problem with boycotts of the Jews. Israel decided to make a Jewish state. Okay? It is a government. All right? Now, if you decide to wrap yourself in a religion and call it government, which is what our founders kind of tried to say, you know, might not be such a hot idea. But when you do that and you criticize that state, you're criticizing the Jews. And that's just, it's insane. It's frustrating. Anyway, so boycotts of the Jews were practiced by some of the worst regimes in history. 190 countries, by the way. Wonder why. Well, that's a subject for another day, I suppose. But anyway, boycotts of the Jews practiced by some of the worst regimes in history, and BDS is a faux grassroots outgrowth of the Arab state's 70-year campaign to strangle Israel economically. Gee, I wonder what they've been doing in Palestine. Anybody ever see any photos from the ground on Palestine lately? They're lucky to have food, water, and medicine. And I mean lucky, because they usually don't have it. This is how absolutely blatantly fractured and schizophrenic this article is. So as such, it goes on to say, while BDS would like to be considered a movement, I don't know how an idea considers something. Now, there may be people that organize campaigns to further the idea, but BDS can't consider anything because it's an idea. It's opposition to what people feel morally obligated to oppose. Now, I'm quite sure that there are people that are among the BDS movement, if you want to call it that, who are of ill repute. That goes with just about every entity out there, every group, every corporation, patriot groups even. It doesn't matter. There's an idiot in every crowd, and sometimes more than one. So anyway, as such, while BDS would like to be considered a movement, it may be more accurately perceived as an underhanded tactic. So not spending your money on something that you don't believe is morally sound is underhanded. And this is being published in the American Thinker. Good God. Let us focus ever so briefly on the three BDS demands. Again, I know that this organization that exists out of there, this Palestinian organization, they can call themselves what they want. Boycott Israel is what I call it. BDS, whatever you want to call it, I boycott them because I don't agree with what's going on. But anyway, the first BDS demand, the article goes on to say, for Israel, is to end its occupation and colonization of all Arab lands and dismantling the wall. Well, when you live in an open-air prison and you're being occupied and you're having your home stolen, yeah, I think that they might want to end that. That might be a good idea. Just saying. There's Palestinian Christians. I saw a piece the other day of Palestinian Christians who were losing their homes to these illegal, and they're illegal settlements. Losing their homes. So you Christians out there that want to make this all about Islam, and like Jake Morfonio said, look, you know, if you do something bad, I judge you for your actions, not what you choose to believe or not believe. My goal is to live by an example, hopefully to bring you to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do that by building a wall around you and denying you basic food, medicine, and necessities. It's ridiculous. By bulldozing your home and stealing from you and violating every commandment that ever was, I'm not going to win you to Christ that way, certainly. So you Christians out there, like the Hagiites, who then sat and gave advice my advice would be for these Palestinian Christians just to stay out of it while they're losing their homes. Okay, let's go with that thought. Let me roll into your neighborhood in East Bimblefrig, wherever it is that you live in the United States, and you're in your little gated community or residential development and say, you know, God gave me this land and I'm going to take it from you and I think that you should just stay out of it. See how that would go. Right. Anyway. So the phrasing is ambiguous, as many Israel haters. I don't hate anything. I oppose ideologies and doctrines of men, and sometimes the actions of government. Okay, those who are in Christ, in my faith, those who are in Christ are Israel. This we're talking about a corporate, fascistic, communistic state, a government, and. Okay, so Christians getting behind this, again, it's schizophrenic. Their own Talmud, just read Jesus in the Talmud. Read their own research coming from the Talmud. Read Jesus in the Talmud. They are Christ haters. They hate Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ represented. So these Christians that get behind this Israel first mentality, you know, I just walk away scratching my head. I just don't understand the separation of logic in their heads. So anyway, these Israel haters consider every inch of Israel, and not just the territories won by Israel in 1967, to be Arab land. Well, who was living there when you came and kicked them out? If you came to my mother's house and you tried to take her, or my nieces and my nephews, and you tried to take them out of their house and bulldoze their house, I would kill you. I would fight you with every last breath, and if I didn't have a gun or a sword, I'd use a rock. Sound familiar? What would you do if it was your home, people? What would you do? This is not a left-right thing. This is a moral thing, right? No abortion, don't kill babies, no land theft, don't steal stuff, no taking homes, don't covet. These are tenets of Christianity that are just being ignored and supported by Christians. I want to smash my face in the wall. God. Anyway, the phrasing is ambiguous, as many Israel haters consider the nature of Israel. The wall is actually a life-saving security barrier that was built in order to stem the waves of Palestinian suicide bombers that were marching into Israeli cities in the early 2000s. And as I told you, if you stole my mother's house or displaced my family, what would I would do anything I could to oppose you. So I suggest that maybe if you had not began by stealing other people's stuff, none of that would have happened. Ron Paul calls it blowback. You know, you go into a neighborhood and you bomb the crap out of it. What do you expect you're going to create? Are you going to expect that these people are going to embrace you for the freedom that you're bringing to their neighborhood as you drop depleted uranium all over their neighborhood? As kids are being born with three eyes and four legs? Are they going to embrace you and love you? They're going to want to kill you. It's common sense. John F. Kennedy pointed this out, by the way, with the whole nuclear thing. We did a piece on that not that long ago. We published it on Resurrect the Republic, on RTR Truth Media, on The American Awakening with Mike Herzog. He warned Israel. He said, if you, and Israel stole our nukes, so he was warning, if you pursue this nuclear ambition, you are going to cause these other nations that have no need for it to arm themselves. Then, after doing that and ignoring Kennedy and the bullet in the head and all of that, going ahead and forward with that agenda, trying to keep it secret, while demonizing other sovereign nations for doing what you did far more out in the open than Israel ever did. It's hypocrisy. It's absolute hypocrisy. Now, I'm not in favor of any nuclear weapons, to be honest with you, but, you know, one nation has them, and the other nation's got to have them. I'm hoping that mutually assured destruction will prevent people from being stupid enough to actually use them. But the fact of the matter is Kennedy hit it right on the head. He nailed it. He told Ben-Gurion, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And look at what's happened. Now everybody, Iran, we can't let Iran get the bomb. Why did we let Israel get the bomb? Nobody talks about that. It's all about Iran and Iran getting the bomb and this and that. Why did we let any one of these insane, dictatorial, communistic, and by the way, if anybody dares ever call Israel the only democracy in the Middle East, please don't do it to my face. I might be tempted not to be able to turn the other cheek. It's insane. So anyway, this ambiguous phrasing that they go on to, as many Israel haters consider every inch of Israel and not just the territory. So you steal it and that's what happens. So in a similar vein, another BDS demand is for Palestinian refugees to return to Israel. Well, gee, I guess if you kick somebody out of their home or you kick their families out of their homes and you dispossess them, and you know, what is the American dream? That the kid does better than the parents and that their accumulated wealth is inherited down the line. That's just, there's nothing wrong with that. So anyway, notably, only the article goes on to say, only a few tens of thousands of Palestinian Arabs would be considered refugees under the universally applied definition of the term refugee. Alas, BDS refers to selective definition of the term according to which Palestinian Arabs, like no other group in the world, may pass down the refugee status from generation to generation in perpetuity. Well, dude, you kick their grandfathers and their grandmothers off of property that should be rightfully theirs. Okay? It's theft. If you stole from my father and I can prove it now, I should be able to sue you and get back what you stole from my father because that is my rightful inheritance. That's even biblical. We have an inheritance from God. If somebody tries to steal that inheritance, do we not have the right to fight for it? So thus, BDS claims a number of over 7.25 million refugees, such an influx of foreign population. So they're calling the refugees and their families that they kicked out and stole their land foreign. Coming from Russia, Poland, and Germany, and everywhere else where these aren't even Semitic, most of these aren't even Semitic Jews. They've never, their families have never stepped a foot in the Middle East. But they're calling the where's the wall? I'm going to bang hit the wall. So, this BDS claim, so of course, this is the BDS idea. It goes on to say that the last of the BDS demands calls for equal rights for the Arab citizens of Israel, claiming that racial discrimination is built into Israel's legal system in over 50 laws. BDS does not bother to provide actual examples of such legal discrimination against the Israeli Arabs. Really? They don't? Okay. I'm going to squash this with one. If you're an Arab or a Christian in Israel, can you marry a Jew? The answer to that is no. If you're a Christian, can you stand on the corner and preach from the Word of God without being harassed, beaten, and dragged off? The answer to that is no. There's just two right there. I'm just giving you an example. I could find more, such as the African Jews that were, and I'm not talking about African immigrants or refugees from, you know, I'm talking about African Jewish women who they were found to have been illegally sterilizing by medication. This is their papers. Don't bother, you know, trying to dispute it. Go and find out for yourself. So there's just another law. All right. So they don't bother to identify it because it's already out in the public. Everybody should know about it. If you don't know about it, you're ignoring it. If you're ignoring it, why? Because you're ideologically mind-bent. So BDS does not bother to provide actual examples of such legal discrimination. It's a laugh. The reality is that there is no such system of ethnic discrimination in Israel. That sentence makes me want to throw up. This is just filled with lies. This is not true. And this is why Christians in America are so easily duped. They read something like this and, there is no discrimination. Okay. Do some research, people. Do some research. So the article goes on to say, if PBS so desired, it could find a legal system, dozens of laws that discriminate against Palestinian Arabs, and a wall that encircles the Palestinian Arabs enclave in order to limit their freedom of movement, as a wall that's readily present in neighboring Lebanon. Okay, so now we're deflecting onto Lebanon. And yet applying pressure on Lebanon is not the focus of the BDS effort. No, because this is a boycott of Israel, not of Lebanon. But then again, Lebanon, it goes on to say, is not Israel. Oh, thank you. Well, that's good. And that's what matters to the boycotters. Now, what matters to the boycotters is that they're trying to right a wrong. Anyway, we can infer a lot about an actor from his philosophical alliances. Hence, it may be appropriate to consider a recent tweet from Hamas. Okay, the tweet says, "We applaud and salute the influential BDS movement." Okay, I thought, I was told by many Zionists that Hamas was the BDS movement. Again, little truths that come to light. We'll be back. Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship.
Oh, I got too much of this article that I can't even get to, but you guys get the idea, but let's see if we can just push through just a little bit more. Even if it may seem that BDS fails more than it succeeds, and as celebrated musicians and actors, scientists and public persona continue to come to Israel, the threat presented by BDS should still not be taken lightly. BDS has found inroads on college campuses by infiltrating and usurping other often legitimate movements. Okay, I wonder what legitimate movements they're talking about. I don't like to see the amount of brain-dead indoctrination going on campuses, and I don't like to see kids on college campuses being used as political tools not for any movement, including BDS. I mean, if you can't articulate why you're standing in opposition to something, I mean, you have Marxists, hardcore Marxists, that support the BDS movement, all the while they're boycotting a commu-fascist, communistic state. Really strange, fractured. This is why, you know, when I introduce people to this show, I have to try and explain them. They have to really unplug from the right-left paradigm. If you're not able to unplug from the right-left paradigm, you're not going to get it. Just not. My values are more conservative. I explain them that way because I'm anti-abortion, I'm pro-Christian, I'm pro-Constitution, pro-freedom, liberty, militia, property rights, you know, free market, you know, all of these things, anti-communist, anti-communitarian, anti-globalist. But you see how this one movement, how the left kind of sort of got its teeth into it? And in actuality, boycotting a foreign country who has spied on you and the largest spy ring in American history, who's stolen your nukes, who's stolen technology, and who you're being fleeced for, is the quintessential American position. You should be in opposition to that. But somehow we have a bunch of Marxist morons running around completely, you know, repulsing people on the right from being able to even consider it. And that, folks, is by design. It's by design. Most hardcore neoconservative, especially Republicans, are not anything more than Trotskyites. They may not realize it. They may hold some conservative values. But they are believing in this big authoritarian nanny state, force you to do their bidding, government that is not freedom, that's not American, it's not what we were founded to be. They are just as bad. Well, maybe not just as bad, because at least they don't get behind the senseless slaughter of unborn and you know, at least they oppose some things that are bad. But the same thing. There ought to be a law. You always hear them say that. There ought to be a law doing this. There ought to be a law doing this. That means we should imply force upon you to gain our will. That's what there ought to be a law means, by the way. So anyway, tonight, Brendan McConnell, Mike Herzog may join us, I believe. What's that?
Brendan O'Connell.
Brendan O'Connell will be here with us. And it's going to be one humdinger of a show. So tune in tonight to RTR Truth Media Reloaded, and we will catch you tonight.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.